We are very explicit.
Yeah, you say what you
mean. Motherfuck shit. I said this mother was on here on the internet singing this goddamn shit. I couldn't motherfucking believe it.
All right, I just want to get that one. Right. I'm good now. I'm good. Oh. I can be professional. I'm good. No, it's like if it comes to you, then talk how you really talk.
Yeah. Oh, shit. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. It's a small family roundtable jumping off right now. It's myself, Chris, Toria, and Chris. That is two Chris's at the table tonight. So you will need to be able to distinguish each gentleman by his voice. You guys know CL's voice, so.
Two C's.
There's two C's. And tonight's topic is secular gospel music. Gospel remixes of secular songs. Do they need to die? Is it going too far when you remix a truly secular song and make it a song of praise and worship? there's a part of it that just is like, I want people to stop. Like, no more Drunken Love remixes.
Lord, I'm praying.
Lord, I'm praying. Sorry, we mocking y'all. Like, it's just too much.
Whoever thought of that, kill yourself.
It's just too much. It's like, on the other hand, I was saying to the family here, you know, for people who find creating these remixes as a way of really channeling whatever positive energy that they need to help themselves stay right, not necessarily in the Lord, if that's what they choose, that's what they choose. But just if this was somebody who had a serious problem and doing this is funneling positive energy for them, then I have a hard time knocking it. But if you're just doing it because you want to flex on how fresh you are as a vocalist and a songwriter, why not just write your own gospel songs?
Plus, I just have a hard time hearing that song and not hearing surfing in them good.
Right. Surfboard.
Surfboard. Surfing in these good goods. Like, there's nothing. Good Lord, I can't even listen to the song no more because right. There's Jesus on one end and Beyonce on the beach.
Yes.
Half dressed, surfing. Her
and, right, her and Jigga drunk, both of them.
Drunk in the and they not drunk off of grape juice.
No.
Or the blood of Jesus either. And like, I love Jesus, but come on.
Be off of grape goose. Grape juice.
Surfboard.
And it's so funny. I got the idea of this topic because I was talking to the sisters from Nerdy Black Chicks today. Shout out to the Nerdy Black Chicks podcast. Those two sisters are funny. If you have not listened to them, start listening to them. They're on Blog Talk Radio. And yep. This was a topic
on
in
Stitcher
their show.
Also.
Oh, they're on Stitcher as well. And this was one of their topics. And I was just cracking up. I was dying at the conversation that they were having because it was the same thing. Like, yeah, no. No, and they put me onto a bump and grind.
I don't see nothing wrong with a little Jesus Christ. I feel like I'm going to hell just saying that. And how do you take the Piss Man song?
That was my thing. I'm like, Kels, you took Kels.
And we like R. Kelly, but y'all already know he's all about sex. So do not take an R. Kelly song. Like, you have to take the raunchiest person out there and
right.
Just turn it.
I mean,
would be I would feel disrespected as R. Kelly, and R. Kelly should never feel disrespected.
Right.
Because he's R. Kelly.
I need a Luke remix now. I need somebody to take Doodoo Brown and somehow flip that. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Something like that.
From the windows to the walls.
In the church.
Till Jesus comes down these walls.
Oh my God.
To all the angels crawling. Yeah.
That's scary. That's a little scary.
You know, that's what they do. The raciest stuff.
Right.
We're going to flip this.
And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to make Jesus and God more appealing to young people, I think. I don't know that that's everybody's motive, but I do know they believe, like, in order to... That's our little Eli. That's okay. Like little Eli.
A little podcast break.
A little podcaster. I do think there's a line in the sense of, one, if you're an artist, you're not being very creative, and artists are supposed to be creative. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing creative about what you just did.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit. Mm-hmm. And then why take, like, the raunchiest songs, the most hood songs? Because guess what? Like, I don't think someone listening to the Jesus Drunk in Love is going to be like, you know what? I'm about to change my life around. I want Jesus. It was that one Beyonce song. They enjoy Beyonce. Yeah. Right?
And I think that's honestly the reason why the songwriter does it. You like this song so much, but feel maybe some level of Christian guilt behind enjoying it because the song's topic is completely secular, completely worldly. So how do I change this track where I can now make it appropriate to sing, not only personally, but I can take this into my church
and say I'm
tabernacle.
Drunk. I'm drunk in love with Jesus. Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah, that was my thought with it. The one I wrote down. I was like, Christians like all these songs are sexual. These are not like, hey, I'm just in the club. You like, these are songs that are like, I'm fucking, I'm doing, like, basically, I'm doing non-Christian, quote-unquote Christian stuff. Like, I'm having sex before marriage. Like, this song is all about having sex. I'm not married. And if I was, it really don't matter. I'm having sex. And it's like, well, how do I listen to this to make it okay?
Yeah.
Even though they're talking about stuff that in my church they be talking about, this is immoral.
Yeah. I think it begs the question, that line between secular and gospel. Like, at what point do we cross the line with gospel and secular? You know, I've heard my father, who is a minister, and mind you, he used to live a very, very worldly life. He's Pentecostal.
Right.
And he'll tell you in a second, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. You know what I'm saying?
I've seen that.
Yeah. And when he says party, he really means party.
Right.
You know, I've been where my daddy has been in the pulpit, and it will turn into a party in the church. You know what I mean? And he's all down for that.
Like, no.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I was raised in a household with a church that was very, very conservative. A cappella music, not even any live instrumentation allowed within the church.
Wow.
And so for me, it was a definite line of what is appropriate and what is inappropriate in terms of crossing. Now, I realize that experience is extreme. And it's, I mean, two extremes. And when it's extreme, you got to question. To me, you got to question it, period.
Right.
But that was something for me that I felt was... I don't know. I feel like should there be a line? Should there be a line where we say this is not appropriate, or, you know, some things need to stay in the street and in the world, and some things remain in the church?
What's so funny though, like when you watch the videos, because they do have videos going along, they're imitating the video. You know, everybody's like super cool and swagged out, and so it's like, really, you know, like, you're so thirsty for Jesus, but you can't leave your secular life alone.
Right. Rasan and Alicia have just joined us, y'all. And we're talking about secular music gone gospel. All these gospel remixes of secular songs, namely the abundance of Drunk in Love church remixes, and whether or not these are appropriate. Are people going too far with creating these remixes? Are they crossing the line that shouldn't be crossed between secular and gospel? Or is it all good? And we were talking about that one. It was the Drunk in Love and mainly the Bump and Grind gospel remix.
Ain't nothing wrong.
Yeah, who little Jesus Christ? Yeah. I don't see nothing wrong.
You should never cross that. I don't think it should be. It should be, you know, if you in church, you know what I mean. It should never cross over secular at any point. It should never be like that. You know what I'm saying? To even think that's okay is not right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you spiritual, you spiritual. You know, like I was at service a few weeks ago, and the pastor was saying, like, you can't have one foot in, one foot out. You got to be all or nothing. Either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, saying people watching you. And, they, you know what I mean? it is a judgmental mentality with people, and especially like those that already feel like Christians are hypocrites, you know, let alone to even have songs like that mixed with secular music, you know what I'm saying? It's not cool, you know what I mean? I think so.
You make everything all right. No complaints for my life, so fluorescent under his light. Y'all, I'm praising Jeremiah 29 and 11. I'm speaking it, living it. You scared, call that reverend. Y'all, I'm praising. Get my mind right, righteous grind. Jesus Christ, new life. He paid the price, greater sacrifice. He gave it up. Y'all, I'm praising. I'm singing this truth till my voice hoarse. God, fill me up all the way. Then use me for your purpose. Purpose. Purpose, studying your word, studying your word. I'm swerving on that, swerving on them curses. I've been trusting in you.
Swerve on the word.
Why are you swerving with
the word? Jesus all night, Lord.
Swerving on that word, Lord. Swerving on that word.
You should be walking.
Swerving on that word, word. Oh my God.
Swerving in word don't even.
Man, the closest thing I can get to is Jesus walk.
Yeah,
that's that. I let that now. That one I can let that one go.
Yeah, because he made it for that purpose. You know what I'm saying? Right. He made it for that. He done walked completely away from existing, but he made it for that. I wonder if heaven got to get him. Right, that was the jam.
That was a good one too.
That was a good song. That was a good song. But these little tracks, it was. Here's the other thing. Are we back on?
Yeah, we go.
Here's the other thing that I've noticed. These Drunken Love remixes keep dropping like every few days. So what that tells me is that within the Christian singing community, there is a competition for who is going to make the Drunken Love remix. You know, it only take one person to change it up and everybody should be good with that one, right? But everybody's making their own remixes. Like, nah, I got this. I can do this better than her.
I can swerve on the word better than her.
Right. So to me, that just brings in another element of just kind of ickiness to this. There's a underground YouTube gospel remix battle to Drunken Love right now. Is men making it? Is women making it? If you a singer, you have a toe in the competition to see whether or not you gonna make the cut. Okay. We seen a video of some brothers today. They in the studio. They in the studio cutting the Drunken Love track. Yeah.
You said dudes are singing it too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Swerving on the word.
Swerving on the word. That's what the name of this podcast is gonna be. Swerving on the word.
I wonder if, you know what's the funny thing? I wonder if people have taken this from the preachers, because the preachers, this is what they would do. They take the hit song and they were like, all right, I'm gonna throw my little lingo over it. Because that would be, I would totally see a preacher doing that.
Yeah.
I've been praying. Everybody like, ooh! That's my song. Yeah. I can totally, like, you hear that.
Yeah.
You go to church and you hear them try to, yeah, I know about that.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. Right.
Why you know about that?
Right.
You don't need to know.
And one of you all mentioned, I think it was you, Alicia, this is their way of trying to attract the youth.
Yes.
And draw them into church, perhaps, by making the music more attractive and catchy?
Yeah, I think that they're trying to appeal to the youth. Like, you know, they know that they're out there listening to the secular music. So if they're playing the tunes that's kind of catchy, it's going to draw them in.
Mm-hmm.
So I do get that point. But I think that's really crossing the line when you take a popular known hip-hop song or whatever, such as the Drunken Love with Beyonce, and then do a gospel remix. That's crossing the line at that point.
I would agree.
It's funny, because I would think in the other way around, a lot of Christians would be pissed off. It's like, why you take this hymn number 128 and make it a secular song?
Exactly.
I mean, exactly. We've seen a lot of, you know, a lot of the days of soul music where you'd have a lot of kids who grew up in the church and want to start singing like secular music. People were like, oh, yeah, we're not cool with that. So you're going to have to make a choice.
Yeah. And the thing is, so many gospel songs have beautiful melodies.
Right.
You know, yeah. And some of them, you might not have a drum beat behind it, but you could put one behind it. And if you were to take that song and flip it, it would be a definite issue.
Yeah. Just think about like Mary Mary and Kurt Franklin. They've all done it. And you don't listen and say, wait a minute, is that a remix of R. Kelly? You know, so it can be done.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this
Although is. Some people question Kirk Franklin, because I know I do sometimes. Okay. Like, he a little too pumped, you know?
Like, yeah, he has a party. Yeah. Like, he parties.
And there's no such thing as being too pumped for Jesus, but yeah, you got a little too much. You a little too much, Kirk. Like, I already know we could take Kirk to the club. I already know we could.
And there was a song Mary Mary had out a few years ago, because I don't usually listen to gospel music, you know, like when I'm in the car or something. But they had a song that was bumping to the point I was like, Chris, I had to figure out who it was. And when I found out it was them, then I had to actually listen. And I was like, oh, this does have a religion. I think they had like one little bridge that got real gospel. But overall, the song was just like a joint. I gotta look this one up.
Was that The God in Me?
No, it wasn't The God in Me.
Shackles on my feet.
I walked.
Yeah, it was I'm Walking, that song.
Walking?
Yeah, that Walking. What song is that? That song is bomb. I'm about to pull it up. That song is
bomb.
Yeah,
that is a good song.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, because like you said, there's a lot of artists who've been able to kind of do the mix of both. But like they said in Nerdy Black Girls, it does remind me of that South Park episode where Cartman takes out every line of just... takes every song like that and crosses out the person's name and puts Jesus and sings it exactly like that.
Yeah.
And it'd be the raunchiest crap. You'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah. That was actually funny. It was a episode of South Park. And you know how Cartman is always the fool trying to start some stuff. And he decides he's going to start this band and they're going to take every popular song and just change, put Jesus in every single one. Yeah. And it's hilarious. Yeah. All the different songs he comes up with, and he's anywhere they say baby, he says Jesus. Yeah. But it gets to the point where he's like, I want to make love to you, Jesus. He get too hyped. He get too hyped. And they be like, wait, you love Jesus a little bit too much.
All right. But it was selling.
It was selling. It was popular.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, just stop, y'all. Stop.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stop. Yeah, I think that's what it really boils down to is like the money factor. They see, you know what I'm saying, these so-called pop artists, you know, making all this money doing what they're doing and figuring, okay, I guess we could take the gospel and do it on that level, you know, just try to get popular or whatever. But, I mean, it's really watering down something that's been in effect for thousands of years. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about, you know, these prophets and... you know, it's just the whole theology and the whole spiritual aspect of it. And you taking it and putting it on that level, it's like, what you're selling yourself out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, you just really just watering everything down. But I think the truth, regardless, will like be the truth. But them doing that, they really just doing themselves a disservice. Because if Jesus was to come down right now, walking down the block, just be like, man, that
you gonna let me in? I'm gonna be like, I'm serving on his word. Yeah.
That ain't it. You know, just like if you see the blonde hair, blue eyes, Jesus, he gonna look at that picture and be like, nah, that ain't me. that ain't me. I don't know who this cat is.
Right.
Who's this cat right here? You know. So.
That's a good point. I wonder if there is a scripture that addresses this.
Mm.
Well, I mean, you know, even in the Bible, it's like, you know, we water down Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for real, like Jesus was, I mean, the cast who he was around, the disciples, these dudes was no joke. You know, these dudes was chopping off people's ears, and you know what I'm saying? It was like one scripture. I mean, here it is right here. He walked into the temple. These cats up in there gambling and pimping and, you know, doing whatever they're doing. He tore up the temple, kicked their ass. Like, man, hey, man, y'all need to get up out of here with that. You know, so.
Jesus was kicking ass. Yeah,
he was kicking ass. Kicking ass and taking names.
So if that don't cause people to really look at it, like, is this really what he was about, his example?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we have to really look at the man and his example, what he was here for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His title, him being... the Messiah, the Christ. You know, I'm not a Christian, you know, but I understand who Jesus is, what he represents.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we just really, like, people that's doing that, it's like, that's not cool.
And see, when I think about us now, our history as a people, just African Americans in this country, and what gospel has meant to us, even outside of a Christian realm, so much of our gospel music comes from slavery. You look at, like, honestly, you look at an anthology of African American literature, it will start with gospel songs, oral hymns, things that weren't even written down, but Go Down Moses, all those songs that the slaves sang to keep themselves really awake and able to get through what they were dealing with. And that is such a huge part of our oral history, but it served its purpose in the sense that it was heavily entrenched in Christianity, because Christianity, used as a tool to enslave us, was also used as a tool to help us get through and get by. You know, and so I don't know, these remixes to me, they're just kind of funny. I have a hard time listening to them and taking them very seriously. And it might have to do with my relationship with religion and church, but I just find it I find it funny.
Like, can they not talk about it? It's like, well, would these songs not be as popular if you could actually bring these issues into the church and be like, look, this is real. It happens. It goes down. Pastor probably do it too. Let's be honest and have these discussions. Yeah. You know, is it like, oh, it's Sunday, we can't talk about that? I'm like, well, y'all don't be showing up any other day. So Sunday today, let's be real. You walk up in here all in your finest and all that, want to hear something, let's talk.
Yeah. It almost makes me want to ask the question, because this for me, even though I know it's not a new concept, it is for me a new concept, and that's praise dancing. Now, I've seen some beautiful, like, actual modern dance type expressions happening in the church, but I've also seen some that have been kind of border modern dance, border hip hop praise dance. And I'm like, is that okay? Like what are we justifying making these choices? Are we doing this to make church fun? And is that the purpose? Is church supposed to be fun? And I think because I grew up in such a conservative church, I did not anticipate church being fun. There were aspects of church that were fun. Song service was fun. Youth ministry was fun. But overall, this was a very serious, praise was a serious situation. I wasn't expecting to go there to party.
Right.
You know, and it seems to me now a lot of church, not everybody's, but there are a lot of churches that are chipping off because they've made the experience fun for people. And is that I'm just curious to other people's experiences. Is church supposed to be fun like that?
I mean, I think, you know, I think you should kind of like relate the message to like the time and to the language of the people in terms of like what's happening, you know, in terms of every day, of course, like things that took place 2000 something years ago, might be different, you know what I'm saying? But really in actuality, I think, you know, things are really the same, you know, I think it's just a matter of just like relating, you know, the word or what have you, or those stories in terms of what's going on today and speak it in the language in terms of what people know of today. But there should be a line in terms of knowing what's right from wrong. You know, I think you should always look at what that word is and let that be the example. If you're looking at what popular people are doing in society and using them as the example, you just, you know, it's not, that's not what it's there for. You know, what you believe in, that should always be that prime example. Forget what these other people are doing, how rich, how famous they are, whatever. You know, that's cool and all, but they shouldn't be the example, I think. I mean, if you're coming from that aspect, you know, of spirituality, they should catch up to what's already been in existence for thousands of years. You know, that's what's been here. You know, a person being rich, famous today, you know, TMZ will blow that up tomorrow, 2 days later, they're not rich and famous.
Right,
no,
it's a wrap.
Right. It's a wrap. Right, right. You know, so. So, you know, what are we doing?
Fun seems so like playful. But I think you should be able to go to church and enjoy service. But I think if all you do is enjoy it and be entertained and you miss out on the word, then it defeats the purpose, because you're really supposed to go into church to get spiritually fed. So if you're going into church to look for a show, then that is problematic. And I think some churches build off of giving a show.
Yeah.
Giving a show. But yeah. I think also as a person, as the audience, not the audience, as a member or in the congregation, you definitely have to go there with a purpose. It's not about being entertained. You know, like when you start living a real life on Monday after you walked out of church on Sunday, that dance or that song you heard may not get you through. Or right. How will it get you through?
Right.
And I do know, like, when we're talking about the youth, they definitely take a spin on getting the youth involved. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, a 13-year-old typically does not want to go and sit in church. You know, like, I didn't when I was 13, right? But if you show them that you can be yourself and still have a relationship with God, I think it's a hard line, you know? It's a hard line. It's a very gray area to, like, kind of make it clear. And I think, Chris, you said this earlier. This is why some people get so conflicted with the church. Like, you know, is it about getting turned up in the church?
Right.
And making turned up seem good because you did it inside the temple as opposed into the club?
Right.
Right? Yeah. Or, you know, is it really about feeding people spiritually, nurturing their spirits and things like that? Mm-hmm. And then on the point of dancing, like, I might have a little bit of bias here just because I dance. Like, for those people that do dance, it is spiritual, right? Mm-hmm. And even in the Bible, there's a verse that says, and David danced unto the Lord with all his might. Like, mm-hmm. anyone who takes the stage is a true dancer. Or as any artist, you know that your talent came from somewhere, not right. you, right? You right. just didn't wake up because you were good, right? But there have been times where I'm looking like, y'all doing too much. Like, I look like thrusting.
But that's African, but that's African. Yeah.
So the thrust level was kind of...
The thrust level is a little too high for Jesus.
You said the reverend is looking a little too... he's kind of concentrating a little too hard there.
If you want to redeem yourself, just say, I'm swerving on that word.
There you go.
I wonder what these artists think, too. I guess it would be flattering. And by the way, Cousin Darius has entered the building in case he grabs the mic. Y'all know Darius's voice. But I wonder how these artists feel. If they're flattered by this, if they're just like, damn, that song must have been the joint. Because this, like, Beyonce right now.
I would be giving the side eye if I was Beyonce. I'd be giving all them heifers and Negroes the side eye. I do not take my drunk in love to my boo and turn it into swerving on your Lord. I wanted to surf on the board. I was not talking about swerving on the word. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. So if I were Beyonce, I would not be flattered at all.
Yeah.
R. Kelly might be. Because he might think it gets closer to heaven.
Yeah.
That's why he's like, look, God, my shit carry.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he's getting a pin on that little girl.
Nah, he's stuck. Kelly's stuck.
Yeah. I was going to speak on your part. Should it be fun? There has to be something about it that is enjoyable. And sitting someplace getting lectured is not enjoyable. True I mean, that. I'm just, let's just be honest. And it hasn't worked when we was kids. I mean, even, you know, I have a five-year-old, and I know already that he ain't going to be able to get through this. You know, church service is like.
That's a five-year-old. Like,
you know, I've been to different churches. Like, my church service is like 90 minutes. Between 60 and 90 minutes. I know the sermon going to be a half hour. I know when I'm getting out, and it's always at the same time. Like, some churches, the preacher gets to get laughs. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's his way of trying to loosen people up and tell jokes. People who like songs, there's songs that go on for 20 minutes, and like, oh, now that we're feeling it, let's just keep it going.
Yeah, and it depends on the denomination, too.
Right, right. I mean... Like you said, we'll praise dance. Some people just, let's just dance and get all in, you know, in the pews and out there and boogie down. I mean, there has to be some aspect of it because that's how it draws you in as a kid. And even as an adult, there's something that you have to get some enjoyment out of. Otherwise, you're like, it's all just work. Like, I'm doing all the work. Like, where is the payoff? Is the payoff anything good? And if it's just, I mean,
guess I never think about church and like instant gratification.
But I mean, some people do.
I hear what you're saying.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
How long do I got to keep sacrificing and asking and praying? I mean, people feel that way. I mean, right. You know,
I'm on my skirt.
You know, I mean, cause if you're saying all you got to do is ask and you shall receive, and I'm like, all right, I ask and I don't receive.
That's taking it literally.
I mean.
Damn.
I don't think you're supposed to take it literally.
No. You're not supposed to, but I mean, you
some people do, but I don't think you're supposed to.
But I mean, I
think it's subject to interpretation.
Right. I mean, but something has to happen in order for you to keep going. Like anything you do in life, if there's no like, you know, you have your moments where God will bless you. Mm-hmm. What happens if you don't feel that moment? Like getting those moments makes you like, okay, I'm doing the right thing.
Well, I mean, we know somebody who's dealing with this battle.
Right. Personally. But that's what I mean. It's like it's. If you're not supposed to, but there has to be somewhere where you feel like God is like, I'm here.
And mind you, I'm totally playing devil's advocate. You're right. I haven't been a regular attendee of the church I grew up in almost 20 years for that exact reason. Just no actual spiritual food.
She swerves on the word.
I got my own situation going on here with that. But part of the reason, when I think about my experience, why did I go to church every Sunday? Because my family went to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they were four generations deep. So it was just what we did.
Right.
And it wasn't until I got to adulthood that I was like, oh, I don't have to go to this church. Right. Oh, okay, so I won't go. But it remains a problem for my family that I don't go to this church regularly. But I'm like, I'm bored here, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. If we're not singing, I'm entirely bored. But then I look at my daddy's church, and as much as I can enjoy the Pentecostal experience, because part of it for me
is entertaining.
Yes, because I grew up in something so quiet that when my daddy is telling people to run around the church for Jesus and they do it, I'm just sitting there like, oh, this is happening. Yeah. You know what I mean? But he's also a really dynamic speaker, so I enjoy listening to him preach too. But it's when I'm there, I think I'm conflicted even in how to praise, because there's a part of me that believes I'm not supposed to do this. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Now we're getting into a whole other topic and talking about me and my relationship with church. That's not the point of this podcast.
Right. Point of the topic. Stop it.
Yeah.
We don't appreciate you messing up our songs.
Right. Don't take these secular songs and start remixing them for your gospel purposes. I don't think it's gonna work for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be Jesus in all night.
Jesus all night.
Jesus all night. Yeah. Not like that.
I like that.
Right. Swerving on this word. Yeah. Getting my good.
Yeah, that's all. That's all bad.
Lord, I'm praising.
Lord, I'm praising.
It's all bad.
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wonder what was their motivation. You know, other than really just liking this secular song and just, hey, I don't know what it would just be really interesting to talk to people. Yeah, to talk to some of these people and find out, why.
I think the competition part is part of it. I think whoever the first person that did it probably had a legitimate like inspiration, like, oh, I want to see if I can remix this. But literally a new one drops every 2 to 3 days.
Wow.
And I'm like, you just trying to outdo the last one. You just want to say that your Drunken Love gospel remix is better than everybody else's Drunken Love gospel remix.
Yeah.
Except for the R. Kelly. Only one person did that. Because they know I am not fucking with R. Kelly.
Yeah.
That brother got courage.
Yeah.
Yeah, the low conk fade. Sweat dripping.
Well, again, shout out to Nerdy Black Chicks for giving us this topic to discuss. We thank you all for tuning in to us. Of course, you can find us on blackisonline.com. Give us a call on the hotline at 323-455-4219. Go ahead and shoot us an email at kc@blackisonline.com. And please leave us a 5-star review on Stitcher and iTunes. Until next time, peace.
Peace.
Yep. Peace, peace, peace.
Don't ever leave me, Jesus. I couldn't stand to see you go. My heart would simply snap, my Lord, if you walked on out that door. I promise I'll be good to you and keep you warm at night. Jesus, 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 why don't we just shut off the light?